lay beside him, and his body glowed with power, but he was out cold with a pool of vomit spreading beneath his face. Probably a power addict. Inside, there were mostly regular drinkers who stuck to themselves. The inside of the liquor store was normal enough, mostly just shelves filled with bottles, but one corner of it by the door was a massively reinforced cube of glass. Travis, the owner, sat inside it, capable of both dropping a metal door over the entrance if anyone tried to run, or projecting power outside the glass if necessary. He was a large, greasy man, but he made enough money from owning the store to gather some real power. Rick didn't come there often, so he needed to take some time to find what he wanted. He kept his head down and avoided a local group of students from one of the combat sects. Too much of a chance they might be looking for a fight, which he couldn't afford right now. After scanning the walls and finding only normal alcohol, Rick gave up and approached the glass cube. "Do you still sell Philosopher's Elixir here?"
Yeah.
Travis scratched at his stomach where it protruded from his shirt.
"Had to put it behind the glass due to new regulations from the local board. Apparently some idiots couldn't handle the Lucrum surge and smashed up some things downtown. Now I'm only allowed to sell what people can handle."
"That's understandable. I'm looking for some, so if..."
"Gotta test you first."
A glass plate opened, revealing a small machine with a needle at one end and a collection disc beneath. Rick sighed and looked up at the owner.
"Travis, you've sold elixir to me multiple times. You shouldn't need to test me."
Plus, it was well known that he sold both alcohol and stronger substances to whoever could pay. But it seemed like Travis was going to force him to jump through the hoops, possibly just as a power trip. Rick reached forward and pricked his finger on the needle, letting a drop of blood fall onto the disc. The blood was instantly whisked away, and the machine rumbled for a moment before it gave a readout on the other end. Whatever it said, it made Travis grunt affirmatively.
"All right, I can sell to you. All the Philosopher's Elixir is in the top row behind me, but I'd recommend a 10K if you're looking for an edge, a 25K if you want to boost your training."
Travis stared at him for a moment, judging his build with an undercurrent of scorn.
"You're a gym rat, right? Maybe try a 20K mix instead, unless you want to get roided up."
"No, I'd like to try the 100K.
Rick was confident that he knew his limits better than Travis did, and he wasn't going to let the man's scorn slow his development.
"That's gonna knock you right out, kid. You have any idea how strong six figures is?"
"I had one of them as a client the other day."
He left out the details, of course, just stared back at Travis and refused to budge.
"But if you don't want my business, I can go somewhere else."
"It's your funeral. How much do you want?"
In the end, Rick bought only a single bottle of 100K Philosopher's Elixir. If he'd spent all his money, he could have purchased three. That would have been enough to invest a huge amount of lucrum into himself, which would have been a substantial boost to his strength. It would also have been stupid. Something in the apartment could break, or Melissa might need money for something at school, or they might have to pay for a medical emergency. Only someone with no responsibilities and no sense of long-term planning could blow all their money on training supplies. Just buying this bottle was already extravagant for him, but he justified it because he'd soon have his parents' inheritance. Even if it was meager, what they left him could pay for one bottle. Once he received the bottle, he hefted it with one hand, feeling the tingle of power even through the glass. Just to make sure he wasn't making a mistake, he opened it and took a sip. He was pretty sure just a sip wouldn't knock him out cold, but if so, better to do it here, where someone would call for help. At least, they probably would. To his surprise, though it tingled as it went down his throat, he handled it easily. Had fighting against the Birthrider improved his tolerance that much? If so, he was actually getting much stronger. No. Abruptly, Rick realized that answer might massage his ego, but there was a much simpler explanation. He checked the label again, frowned, and turned back to Travis.
"Are you sure this is right? It doesn't taste like 100K to me."
Travis grunted and didn't look up.
"Don't go complaining just because it's more than you can handle. No returns after you open the bottle."
"No, I'm saying it tastes like less than 100K, and I'm wondering just how that could have happened."
That got Travis to look up, beady eyes glaring.
Are you accusing me of something, kid?
No, of course not.
Rick gave him a flat smile and tapped the bottle against the glass idly.
I just assumed that you would be concerned if your supplier gave you an inferior product. Seems like something everyone would be concerned about.
Maybe we could ask all those students to weigh in and give their impressions. You little shit.
Travis glared at him a while longer, but his eyes flickered toward the sect students milling in the aisles.
Look, most training addicts can't tell the difference. They just want something to burn through their system. I didn't mean anything by it.
No harm in an honest mistake, but I really did need 100K for my training.
Though he cursed under his breath, Travis gave in. He reached beneath the counter and pulled out a different bottle. It looked identical to the first on the outside, but the clear liquid inside burned a little brighter. When it moved through the security door, Rick compared it to the first and then took a sip. Yes, that was definitely stronger. Travis leaned forward, one hand pushing against the glass. His hand was fat enough that his flesh flattened against the surface, but it also burned with power.
That makes us even, kid. Unless anyone hears about this, in which case we will never be even. You understand me?
Perfectly. Thanks for the elixir.
Rick gave him a smile and headed out the door, though he took care to secure both bottles in his backpack first. The entire way home, he found himself tense. Part of it was just carrying something so valuable, but another part of it was the confrontation. Liquor stores needed to care about security, particularly if they also dealt in lucrum-related drinks. He didn't think Travis had directly threatened him or that there would be any consequences, but the possibility left him uneasy. If mobsters broke his legs, he wouldn't be able to take care of his sister, and his training would be set back years, putting them in a hole they'd never escape. Though he wasn't a power addict, he couldn't forget about the 100K elixir he carried. As soon as Rick got back to the apartment, he double-checked that everything was locked and then brought the bottle out. Getting two bottles changed his plans a little, but only a little. To make sure that Melissa wouldn't find him in a pool of his own vomit, Rick poured a small glass of elixir first. It burned going down, and he sensed the strength kindling within him like hot coals, but he only felt a little dizzy. So he sat down on the couch and gathered his nerve, preparing himself fully. 100K Philosopher's Elixir didn't contain 100,000 lucrum. That was only a marker of the quality. What the elixir could do was restore his strength up to his maximum generation rate. It was a better way to restore one's strength than serum, though the cost started high and only went higher as one's lucrum a soul required higher quality elixir. But his goal wasn't to restore himself to average, it was to push himself further. If he drank the entire elixir, for a short time his body would be burning with far more power than he could normally handle. Power addicts just enjoyed the rush and got a small boost from it, but the real gains came from trying to absorb the flood. If all went well, the elixir would expand the pool of strength he could control and boost his generation rate. Before he could talk himself out of it, Rick tilted back his head and drank the entire bottle. For several seconds, he felt like living fire, his body shuddering involuntarily against the couch. He managed to get it under control, though the strength still raged inside him. Gritting his teeth, Rick demanded that the power obey him. All the strength he had, even the lucrum he had collected before, all went into smashing through his current limits. Several hours later, his mind came out of the rigid training exercises and began thinking normally again. At some point, he'd slumped over on the couch, though he hadn't vomited or drooled. Actually, his jaw was sore as if he'd been clenching it the entire time. He didn't remember dropping the bottle, but saw it lying on the carpet, fortunately unbroken. They didn't have a vacuum, so broken glass was a real pain to clean up. That simple thought brought him fully back. His efforts had been successful, though he wouldn't know how much progress he'd made until his lucrum a soul recovered. Right now, he felt completely drained, but that wasn't a problem, thanks to the other bottle. Rick drank that one slowly, not trying to blast open his power, just letting the tingling restore him. He guessed that this bottle was in the 70K to 80K range, though he didn't have as much experience with high-end elixir. Though it might help him a bit,
The main benefit he hoped to gain was just restoring himself to full strength. Before he finished the bottle, he became ravenously hungry. He got up and began to eat through what they had. A lot of it was junk, but it wouldn't do him any harm because right now his body was a calorie furnace. Only after swallowing several snack cakes whole and finishing the bottle on the couch did Rick realize how much of a trashy fighter stereotype it was. Not that it really mattered. When it came time to meet the lawyers, he'd be ready. For the rest of Thursday, Rick did more recovery exercises, testing his new strength. By the end of the day, after spending some time relaxing with Melissa, he felt stable enough to check his strength again. Name: Rick Hunter. Ether tier: 19th. Ether score: 196. Lucrum generation: 17,400. Current lucrum: 17,400. Rick Hunter's Lucrama portfolio: Foundation, 8,100, level 2. Offensive Lucor, 3,500, level 2. Defensive Lucor, 6,000, level 4. Golden Lucor, 10, NA. Total Lucrum, 17,600. He was in the best shape of his life, and he felt great. True, the boost had cost him a huge percentage of his paycheck, and he wouldn't be able to get another boost like that without going to even more expensive elixirs. Still, after so long stagnating, it felt good to have broken through. His ether tier and score remained unchanged, but that was only a matter of time. Just his progress from the elixir might be enough to raise his score above 200, which would mean fewer institutions would reject him. Combined with whatever he inherited from his parents, he'd likely see his tier increase as well. Perhaps enough that their lives would begin to turn around. On Friday morning, he helped Melissa get off to school, then spent an hour pacing around the apartment before he realized that he should just go. He might arrive at the offices early, but that was better than wallowing in anxiety. After spending so much on the philosopher's elixir, he decided to run the whole way, using the time to clear his head. Most importantly, he let his pessimism reassert itself. Maybe this would change his life, but probably not. His parents had probably been close to penniless when they died, so whatever they left him would be minimal. He shouldn't get his hopes up. Just invest whatever they left as best he could. When he reached the address, he discovered that the law firm's office was an impressive building, but Rick barely had time to look at it. Instead, his attention was entirely absorbed by the parking lot. Amid the luxury cars and Lucrum hybrids, there was a beaten red pickup truck with a nearly naked woman painted across the front. That was his uncle's truck, and not the good uncle, Uncle Alan. Why would the lawyers have called him here, too? Rick put aside all optimistic thoughts and rushed inside to find out. Chapter 6. Inheritance Dispute. Though Rick's mind was mostly preoccupied with why Uncle Alan would be coming to a meeting about his parents' estate, he couldn't help but be taken aback as he entered the building. This was no small legal office, but the headquarters of one of the largest local firms. He didn't know much about legal firms, but everything about the offices of Pine, Jade, and Swift Associates projected power. Lush but tasteful carpet, furniture that looked like it cost more than his apartment, lucrum crystals glittering in the windows, it all demonstrated that they had money to burn, and money meant power. Trying to ignore all of it, Rick headed directly to the front desk, avoiding thoughts about how shabby he looked in a room like this. A woman sat behind a computer there, and she smiled at him with no trace of scorn, however.
"Can I help you?"
I hope so. I'm Richard Hunter, and I received a letter from you guys." He held it out to demonstrate, feeling incredibly awkward. "There's supposed to be a meeting?"
"Of course, Mr. Hunter. You're a bit early, so would you mind waiting in the lobby?"
"No, but my uncle, another family member appears to be already here. I'm not sure why." The woman frowned and glanced at her screen briefly, then returned the same polite smile to him.
"I'm afraid I don't know anything about your specific case, but I can assure you things will begin at the appointed time. Please take a seat."
He was too nervous to sit down, but he did wander into the lushly appointed lobby.
This area was clearly for clients and visitors, so it included a wall with a number of ornate carvings chronicling the history of the firm. According to the official story, the Highest Pine, Jade Hand, and Swift Elegance had been combat sects without peer in the Midwest before they joined forces to create the modern firm. Most likely the official story involved some exaggeration. Whenever any place talked about its history, somehow there were unrivaled schools and legendary martial artists everywhere. But that didn't mean that they weren't significant. For one, everyone who worked there was stronger than him. Even the woman at the desk had a generation rate in excess of 50,000 lucrum. And when a well-dressed man who looked like he might be a lawyer walked through, Rick actually had to take a step back. His rate was 200,000 or more, so high that Rick couldn't even properly evaluate his strength. To top it off, that power wasn't just granted in a lump sum like the birthrighters. Oh, the lawyer probably got a significant birthright core from his parents, but it was dwarfed by the many polished cores within his lucrima. In his current state, Rick struggled to even aspire to such power. Before he could get too uncomfortable in the lobby, the woman called his name and gestured him toward one of the doors in back. A young man guided him through the wood-paneled corridors, apparently not wanting to chat, and soon left him in front of a door marked with nothing but a number. Swallowing, Rick pushed inside. On the other side, he found yet another tastefully expensive room, though this one was rather spare. Plain carpet, and aside from the table and chairs, there was no furniture at all. But there was no time to think about that. What mattered was that a lawyer sat on the other side of the desk while Uncle Alan slouched on the closer side. He'd gotten heavier now, but the signs of the fighter he'd once been were obvious in his body. He wore blue jeans and a shirt with the arms torn off, showing both muscular arms and many scars from days pit fighting. Only one chair remained, obviously for Rick. He walked inside slowly, eyeing his uncle, and paused long enough by the chair that the lawyer had to gesture for him to sit. "Please, make yourself comfortable." While Rick slipped into the seat, his uncle frowned at him.
"Thought you wouldn't show up, boy."
"Why wouldn't I?"
He swallowed the acidic words on his tongue, not wanting to seem childish in front of the lawyer in case that ended up affecting the results.
"Because you are always playing your little games," Uncle Alan said. "Never showed up when the family needed you."
It was more that he refused to allow the rest of the family to drag him down, separated himself, because he didn't want Melissa to end up in a dead-end life like so many of them. Rick knew that he should shrug off the insult, but found himself smiling bitterly instead.
"When was the last time you visited my parents, Uncle? I assume you're just here to give your condolences, right? What they left behind has nothing to do with it." "Looks like you've turned into a smug bastard."
His uncle's fingers gripped tightly into the armrests of his chair, and he started levering himself up. But at that moment, the lawyer raised a hand. Just a slight gesture, but he also flexed his aura as he did so. Unlike a visibly manifested aura, it simply rippled through the room, but the raw power of it was a wave of pressure keeping both of them in their seats. Rick sat without moving and waited for Uncle Alan to calm down. When they both sat silently, the lawyer gave a flat smile and positioned a piece of paper in front of him before speaking.
"Since the two of you obviously have business of your own to consider, I'll be brief. Our meeting today is to distribute the belongings of the deceased. They were in some debt, so the majority of their belongings were claimed toward repayment of some of that debt. By law, however, surviving lucrors must be distributed to next of kin."
The lawyer lifted a briefcase onto the table and opened it toward himself. Still speaking, he removed two devices and placed them beside the briefcase.
"Due to the unfortunate circumstances, there was significant deterioration, and so we are left with only two viable lucrors. To wit, these."
Each device was a black square with four steel tines rising from the corners, arching together to meet in the center. The air quivered with the field they produced, and in the exact center of the space pulsed a nearly invisible speck of power. Though there was no difference between the two, they retained just enough familiar essence that he knew they came from his parents. Those two cores were all that remained of his parents. Rick stared at them for a while, not sure what to feel, But then he needed to focus as the lawyer swiped his hand through the air and created a Lucrim display. Birthright Corps. Family designation, Hunter 193. 1108 Lucrim. Birthright Corps. Family designation, Hunter 193. 1944 Lucrim. The larger one had been from his mother, the smaller from his father. He looked over the numbers, having long ago comprehended them, just trying to decide how to react. Though he should have felt more emotion, at the very least curiosity about how they had died, the information in the letter had told him what he basically expected. His parents had lived lives that were simultaneously reckless and unremarkable. Now they left him to unremarkable cores. True, they were significant compared to his current abilities, but they were nothing much for a pair of adults. Mike the Birthrider's 100,000 Lucrim core had probably been only a tiny fraction of his family's accumulated power.
Not bad, bro.
Uncle Alan reached out toward the cores, surprisingly eager. If he needed Lucrim cores worth just 3,000 that badly, then his situation really must be difficult. No wonder he was trying to steal what never should have been his. Rick reached out and grabbed his wrist. Why should they go to you? They were my parents.
You're a damn boy. Would you even know what to do with that much power?
Though he scowled at him, Uncle Alan did pull his hand away. He sat back in his chair and stared at the cores while Rick looked past them.
The law on this matter is frustratingly vague, the lawyer said. Though it surprises many clients, the law does not actually enshrine inheritance rights for children. Under most circumstances, this is handled via a last will and testament, but our searches have presented reasonable doubt that any were ever created. As such, there is actually some uncertainty as to the distribution of the birthright cores.
Frowning, Rick did his best to stay calm.
I don't think I've ever heard of birthright cores not going to the children. Why wouldn't they?
While that is unquestionably the modern custom, there are also legal precedents that favor senior family members.
Uncle Alan grunted.
Yeah, what he said.
He turned in his seat, staring Rick straight in the eyes.
Here's the deal, kid. I'll let you have the smaller core, and you can just walk away. I think I'm being pretty damn generous, considering how much you brushed off his family.
Rick considered it for only a moment before he thought about what those cores could mean for Melissa.
No, you have no right to take them.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
The older man growled and pushed himself out of his chair, reminding Rick just how tall he was.
Then we do this the hard way. You're a junior member of the Hunter family, and you're owed nothing. If you have a problem with that, you can take it up with me.
The lawyer sighed.
A ritual challenge, then. While this is not unexpected, please make it quick. We have more business to attend to today.
Oh, it'll be quick.
Uncle Alan cracked his knuckles and let his aura rise from his body. It flowed a muddy red and moved roughly, but it was as large as Rick remembered it. With an odd movement, the lawyer made his chair and the table slide across the floor, soundlessly gliding to the corner and leaving the center of the floor empty. Fighting on carpet in a wood-paneled room felt wrong, but Rick didn't have a choice. There was no way he was backing down from this one. Rick stood to his feet and took a deep breath. If there had ever been a time to spend all the strength he had been gathering, this was it. Chapter 7. Family Conflict. Rick carefully pushed his chair out of his way, trying to maintain his focus. That was difficult when his uncle was blasting aura in all directions and snarling at him. Uncle Alan grabbed his own chair and hurled it single-handed, effortlessly sending it against the opposite wall. It bounced off the paneling without leaving a dent and tumbled to the ground. Despite how nice it was, this room was clearly built to accommodate fights like this. But they hadn't been given any specific rules to this challenge. Would the lawyer step in before anyone was seriously injured? The man was sitting back and watching them with a flat gaze as if he just wanted it to be over. At that moment, Rick had his attention pulled back to the fight. His uncle began moving forward, striking one fist into his palm.
You're going to regret this, Dick.
That's Richard to you, Uncle.
It doesn't matter. I'm gonna beat you so badly you won't even remember your own name.
With that, his uncle lunged at him, crossing the room far faster than someone of his bulk should have been able to move. It was an impressive attack, fueled by Lucrim with little wasted movement. His uncle wanted to take him off guard with a deciding blow right at the beginning, and it might have worked. Except his uncle looked slow. Rick ducked away, easily evading his wild swipes. He remembered that his uncle had always seemed like a monster, unstoppable in the cage fights where he made his money. Yet now he could see that though his uncle was strong, he wasn't the fighter Rick had believed as a child. Every day at work, Rick had been training against people who outclassed him. Mike and the other Birthriders had struck much heavier blows. Darren had attacked more aggressively. Lisa was far faster and more dangerous. Though part of him began to believe that this might be easy, he didn't let himself get overconfident. Instead of trying to throw his uncle to the ground, he instead dodged to the side and then delivered several quick jabs to his uncle's stomach. All he got was a grunt of pain, then his uncle let out a roar and charged at him. The blow looked clumsy, and Rick started to automatically switch to a soft style and use his opponent's force against him. Yet when he reached to grab his uncle's wrist, his instincts screamed that he was in danger. Rick leapt straight back, narrowly avoiding the sweeping claw that tried to grab him. He ended up skidding back across the carpet all the way until his shoes hit the other wall. His jump had taken him further than he expected. He wasn't entirely used to having this much strength. Instead of trying to take him out, Uncle Alan stalked sideways, glowering. Rick moved to the side as well, keeping distance between them and considering his options. He had been right not to try to throw his uncle. Most people viewed Western-style pit fighters as brutes who could only punch, but he'd grown up seeing the matches, so he knew the truth. They were very good at grappling. Such a contest would pit his strength directly against his uncle's, which would be the one way he would certainly lose the match. Better to keep him at a distance, where his footwork and skill could bridge the gap. That gap wasn't as large as he'd expected, though. He estimated that his uncle only had a generation rate of about 31,000 lucrim. Most of it seemed to be invested in an offensive core, so he was definitely dangerous, but he had plenty of openings. To his surprise, his uncle raised a hand and his aura focused into a ball. It gathered slowly enough that Rick was able to leap aside, and a moment later, the sphere of aura flashed out, exploding against the opposite wall. His uncle had been hiding something like that? Rick was too poor to afford any special techniques or trump cards, but that didn't mean he had no advantages. Now that he had a feel for his uncle's strength, he began advancing more aggressively. Ducking underneath another aura sphere, he moved in and struck several times at his uncle's face. Light blows, just testing him, and they all bounced harmlessly off his defensive block. That was just bait, since his opponent soon saw his chance and punched at his side. Uncle Alan's fist connected, and Rick winced at the pain. But he only winced. It didn't hurt as badly as the blow from the Birthrider, and his defenses had grown stronger since then. For just a moment, his uncle looked astonished, never having expected that someone weaker than him could have such a strong defensive core. Then Rick's elbow collided with his nose. This time, he didn't hold anything back. The blow broke his uncle's nose and snapped his neck back, knocking him off his feet. As his uncle hit the ground, Rick didn't let up, kicking at his side again. This blow dealt more damage than his light jabs, as he felt his uncle's defensive aura give way. That one would hurt the next morning. His uncle writhed and clutched his side, but he was faking it. Rick backed off and kept his guard up, preparing for the next round.
"You little shit."
Uncle Alan crawled to his feet, roughly swiping at the blood pouring from his nose. It ran into his teeth, making them a gruesome sight as he clenched his jaw.
"You're gonna regret this. I'll beat the shit out of you until you're begging me not to do anything worse than breaking your nose."
"You talk a good talk, Uncle."
Rick faked a smile at him and saw the other man's rage. It wasn't enough to prompt him into another wild charge, though. Instead, his uncle raised a hand and gathered another sphere of his aura, except this one didn't fire at him, just spun in place above his hand. A moment later, it burst into flames, the power within it increasing substantially.
"It's too late to surrender, boy. You're going to burn."
But as dangerous as the attack was, Rick just kept smiling. When the sphere flew out at him, he leapt away from it, easily avoiding the attack as well as the small explosion that followed. Of course, that had always been a feint. As soon as he landed near the wall, he saw that his uncle had already released another flaming sphere. There was no way he could dodge this one, but that had never been the plan. Instead, Rick grabbed his chair off the floor and swung it directly at the approaching sphere. A few flames licked his hands as the two collided, but the chair deflected the explosion away from him. Good. That part had been a risk. But he'd noticed that the room had taken absolutely no damage from their fight, so he'd been willing to bet that the firm reinforced the furniture as well. He risked a glance at the lawyer and saw that the man was perusing papers, apparently entirely ignoring their battle.
"That's a cheap trick."
Uncle Alan created a sphere on either side of him, the flames growing more intense.
"But it's not going to work again. You can't dodge forever, and then I'm going to burn all that attitude out of you." "You're wrong."
As dangerous as the spheres looked, Rick saw them for what they really were: desperation. His uncle might be strong, but he was usually desperate for money and running low on lucrum. Normally, Rick was in equally dire straits, but at the moment he actually had more stamina than his uncle. Everything so far had been an effort to beat him quickly or intimidate him into surrendering.
"Wrong! You think I'm going to take that from a little shit who can't even make it in real fights?"
His uncle hurled both spheres in quick succession, and Rick avoided them as best he could. Though he felt a bit scorched, he was still uninjured. More importantly, when his uncle created two more spheres, his control faltered a bit. He was sweating and gasping for breath now, but his eyes still raged.
"You won't win, uncle."
Rick tried not to look smug, since he was sincere. Better to end this without injuring anyone and leaving vendettas behind.
"You think you can wear me out first, but that isn't going to happen. You should admit you've lost." "Never."
His uncle hurled the spheres, but his movements had slowed down even more. Instead of dodging to the side, Rick leapt toward the spheres, passing between them before they could explode. Suddenly, he was within his opponent's guard, and his uncle was too tired to counterattack. Rick staggered him with a punch to the injured spot on his side, dodged to the side of the predictable haymaker, dealt a kick to the back of his uncle's leg, making him drop, then lunged straight in with an elbow to the side of his head. Rick jumped back as his uncle fell, expecting the large man to explode with force and burst from the floor. Yet, to his surprise, Uncle Alan lay where he fell. His face was bloody and his eyes were unfocused. Beyond the damage he had suffered, it looked as though he couldn't believe that he had been defeated. For a while, Rick couldn't believe it either. The adults in his life who were fighters had always seemed unstoppable to him when he was young. And though his uncle had been stronger than him, a generation rate of just 31,000 lucrum was nothing special. For the first time, when Rick looked at his uncle, he felt only disgust and a bit of pity.
"If you're all quite done, may we continue?"
The lawyer looked up from his papers as if the fight had been nothing more than a bathroom break.
"Bring a chair over here, and do try not to break it when you do."
The chair didn't seem to have taken any damage from its use in the fight, but Rick still seethed at the insult as he set it up in front of the desk. To the lawyer, both of them probably looked like impoverished brutes squabbling over loose change. Refusing to care about the other man's judgment, Rick just sat down and waited to receive what he was owed.
"This concludes the ritual challenge, and clearly you are the victor. Therefore, you will take possession of both birthright cores. We would recommend you absorb them immediately, and we can help facilitate the process if you like."
Rick stared at the two cores, but they had never been for him. The offer was tempting for Melissa, however, because he wasn't sure if she had the strength to absorb them unaided.
"How much would that cost?"
"Oh, it's part of the overall fee. Which your relative will be paying, by the way. When the one who issues the challenge is also the loser, they're required to pay all legal costs for both parties.
Provides a disincentive for spurious challenges, you see.
Right, I understand. But what I'm wondering is if you could implant the cores in someone else.
Our gratis service only covers services for you today, but the cores are yours to do with as you wish. You can give them to anyone you want, or use them as paperweights for all I care.
The person I have in mind is also a... Sighing, the lawyer waved his words aside.
We can figure out the details later. First, we need to finish bestowing your parents' assets.
Rick stared at the lawyer. They have more? But you said their property was taken, and surely they don't have more cores.
No, they did not. Before they died, your parents took on a number of significant debts, primarily in lucrum.
Still with the same flat smile on his face, the lawyer reached down into his briefcase.
Those debts are not discharged by their deaths. As the inheritor of their estate, their debts are yours as well.
But you said their belongings were sold to cover them.
Some of them.
His hands rose, and Rick was already jumping to his feet even before he saw it. The lawyer held a ghostly blue lump in his hands that began to writhe from his fingers, an aura leech. Though Rick had never seen one in person, he'd seen enough of them in cheap crime dramas to know what it could do, and that he needed to get away as soon as possible. Yet he barely made it 2 steps to the door before he suddenly found himself slammed back against the wall. The lawyer calmly held him there with one hand, not displaying any visible aura, but radiating overwhelming strength. If Rick had been fully charged and fresh, he might have been able to strike back or struggle away. But having exhausted so much of his strength against his uncle and still feeling his burns, it was simply impossible. This opponent was stronger than anyone he'd ever faced without any obvious weaknesses. To make matters worse, he had the law on his side.
This isn't fair, Rick said, glaring at the lawyer. If you had told me their assets included lucrum debts.
Yes, we've had difficulty getting anyone to accept estates under such conditions, and one of our core duties is to ensure the repayment of such debts.
The lawyer shrugged and raised the leech.
This will only hurt at first.
With that, the lawyer set the leech on his chest, over his heart. It bit down, and cold pain lanced through Rick's chest. He managed to choke back his scream, his body thrashing uselessly against the wall. Worse than the pain was that he could immediately feel the leech draining his strength. Even as he watched in horror, it sank down into his chest, merging with his lucrima. He knew that it would stay there, draining his power until the debt was repaid, but at that moment all he could feel was terror. Not just that an alien being was burrowing into his soul, but that it would stay there, robbing him of the strength he desperately needed to survive and help provide for his sister. Yet, just when he started to think that he had come to grips with his new reality, he saw that the briefcase was floating into the air. The lawyer gave him a false apologetic smile and reached into it again, pulling out another ghostly leech.
Apologies for the discomfort, but your parents acquired several different debts before they passed.
Rick struggled with all the strength he had left, but it was too late. When the creature latched onto him, the world slipped away, and he fell into the darkness. With his last thoughts, he cursed his parents. Then there was nothing left. Chapter 8. Aura Leeches. Pain reminded Rick that he was still alive. For a while, he just lay there, not sure how he felt about that. But no, he had too many obligations to give up. Struggling to open his eyes, Rick found himself staring at a sterile white ceiling. He sat up and discovered that he lay in a room that reminded him of a hospital, but without most of the equipment. Just 2 beds. Uncle Alan lay in the other bed. It seemed that he'd been given minimal medical treatment, but he still looked pretty rough. Rick stared at him, unsure how to feel. He might have experienced a bit of lingering pride if not for the ache in his chest. He felt absolutely terrible. Though he couldn't sense the leeches squirming around inside his soul, he knew they were there, and he definitely felt them draining away his strength. How bad was it? He realized that since all of this was perfectly legal, it would probably be listed in the usual app. Finding his phone lying beside him, he brought up his profile. Name, Rick Hunter, Ether Tier, 18th. Ether Score, 152. Lucrum Generation, 20,602. Effective Rate, 11,102. Current Lucrum, 2,071. He groaned when he saw his basic profile. Though he'd finally passed 20,000 lucrum for his generation rate, the effective rate represented his strength minus the leech's draining effect. All told, he was even weaker than before. Worse, his ether score had been downgraded, placing any advantages from reaching 200 firmly out of reach. Except that the numbers didn't add up properly. The fight against Uncle Alan had probably strengthened him a little, but not that much. Rick pulled up his portfolio, afraid that he already knew what he was going to see. Rick Hunter's Lucrema Portfolio. Foundation, 8,150, level 2. Offensive Lucor, 3,550, level 2. Defensive Lucor, 6,050, level 4. Birthright Core, 1,944, level 1. Birthright Core, 1,108, level 1. Aura Leech, negative 5,000, stage 2. Aura Leech, negative 3,000, stage 1. Aura Leech, negative 1,500, stage 3. Golden Lucor, 10, NA. Gross Lucrum, 20,602. Net Lucrum, 11,102. His portfolio had reorganized itself to measure his weakened state, and the Aura Leeches were a horrible mark against him. But the worst part was confirming his suspicions. He'd already been implanted with both birthright cores. For a long time, Rick just stared at the screen. Where did he go from here? Giving up wasn't an option, but having his hopes be crushed so thoroughly left him floundering. He wasn't even sure how they could make ends meet with such a large drop in his generation rate. This was all he'd bought with his limited strength? Before he could find any answers, the door opened and a young man in hospital scrubs stepped in. He gave a quick smile that Rick couldn't return.
You're awake, huh? We completely finished the process and you took it well, so you're free to go whenever you like.
I didn't want the cores implanted.
The man's smile wavered and he shrugged.
I'm sorry about that, but I can only do what the sheet tells me.
Those were for my sister. She's sick.
That's tragic, but...
The man picked up a clipboard from beside his bed and ran his eyes over it, wincing.
Bluntly, man, you need it more than she does. Without the increase in generation rate, those leeches would be doing a serious number on you.
Rick felt a surge of anger and rose to his feet, only to halt at a twinge of pain. He clutched his chest, breathing heavily.
This is just how it is now, huh?
Well, at least for a while. I know it's not much comfort, but you can work those off. Once they've absorbed enough, they'll automatically detach, and then you can get rid of them.
Right. Once he just paid off a debt of almost 10,000 lucrum. Except the debt was actually much more than 10,000 lucrum as a currency. Rick tried to ransack his memory for information on how exactly such debts worked, and couldn't remember. Uncle Frank had always told him to avoid demonic bonds and leech debts, so he hadn't thought it mattered. Yet now, he didn't have a choice. At that moment, his other uncle let out a curse. Uncle Alan lurched up to a sitting position, muttering more curses under his breath. When he saw Rick, however, he let out a malicious chuckle.
Didn't go as well as you thought, did it, boy? Guess I should be thanking you for putting in so much work to beat me. I really dodged a punch there.
Alan...
Rick wanted to hit him again, but outside of a formal challenge, that would be assault. He could have mocked his uncle for losing or rubbed it in, except that he felt only bitterness.
Do you know how sick Melissa is? You talk about family, but she's the one who will suffer from this.
You're not family. You're going to end up just like Frank, thinking you're too good for us, getting involved with even worse shit.
Alan stood up and glared at him, but when Rick didn't back down, he hesitated.
The nurse glanced between the two of them awkwardly. Listen, can you deal with this stuff somewhere else? Since we finished everything, Mr. Hunter, you're free to go.
Uncle Alan scoffed, though he couldn't entirely hide the fact that he was the one to back down first.
Fine. Enjoy your leeches, boy.
Ah, I didn't mean you.
The young man stepped into his path.
There's still the matter of paying the legal fees, the formal challenge, and the medical treatment. As the firm would have disclosed to you, we do need you to balance those accounts before you go. The total comes to just under 13,000 lucrum. How would you like to pay?
Uncle Alan looked extremely nervous for a moment, then tried to push through. But the nurse simply struck him on the chest with an open palm, and he immediately crumpled to the ground.
Then I'm afraid you have a debt as well. Hold still while I set everything up.
With that, the man looked up at Rick and gave him the same smile. It still seemed honestly friendly, but Rick's blood ran cold.
You can go, Mr. Hunter. Have a nice day.
Rick left the building as quickly as possible. On his way out, he heard his uncle cry out in pain and guessed that an extra leech was being applied to him as well. If his uncle was so desperate to drive all the way from the trailer park to steal a few small cores, then he was likely in poor shape. Having another drain on his lucrima? Well, he wasn't likely to be a problem for a long time. Though seeing his uncle get what was coming to him could have been satisfying, Rick was just reminded of what the lawyer had said. The law firms didn't care about fairness. They just wanted to keep everyone in the lower tiers of society constantly paying off debts so they could never rise up. His uncle might have gotten the slightly worse end of the stick, but yes, that was cold comfort compared to the new reality Rick had inherited. Such large negative numbers. He needed to read up on how exactly aura leeches worked, but he just felt exhausted, far too tired to run, but now he definitely couldn't afford a cab. But his uncle's words reminded him of his other uncle. While he headed down the sidewalk, Rick dialed Uncle Frank's number. As usual, he only went to voicemail, and even though he should have expected it, he still found himself not sure what to say. Uncle Frank, my parents, well, you probably already heard. They left me a lot of debt. I assumed that would go away when they... Is it possible that this isn't legal? Still on the line, Rick rubbed his eyes roughly. No, a large firm probably wasn't going to do something explicitly illegal. He was rambling and needed to pull himself together. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, and I could really use some advice. Call me back when you can. As he put his phone away, he noticed that it was already 4:30, which meant he'd been unconscious for some time. Perversely, despite the fact that there were much more serious problems in his life, he found himself frustrated that he lost his vacation day. He usually worked Saturday, and there was no way his boss was giving him a day off. Plus, he'd need the money and training more than ever to cope with the aura leeches. Yet, where could he go from here? How was he going to help Melissa? For a moment, he considered just sacrificing everything and converting all he had into a core for her. That might slow down her condition enough for her to live a long life. Yet he knew that too much would be lost in the transfer, especially since his lucrima soul had just been manipulated so much. In fact, he had to consider that the debts might go to her next. He didn't think debts could be inherited, but apparently this was one of those things they never told poor people. No, the best way he could help her was to stay alive and work his way out of this. Besides, it wasn't like him to give up. Though he couldn't see the path through, he'd find a way. While he walked home, his eyes wandered to the signs above the Branton Arena. Perhaps he could use his combat skills to earn more lucrum on the side. Obviously, he couldn't compete in the arena itself, and he knew that underground fights could be extremely dangerous, but he might be able to find something. His co-worker Henry had mentioned participating in a few street fights, so maybe he would know. The risk of injury, though. Rick went back and forth over the subject until he finally reached their apartment complex. Going up the stairs to the third floor, his entire body felt too heavy to move, but he forced himself to keep moving. Just unlocking the door took a significant effort.
Woohoo, weekend!
Melissa grinned at him as soon as he entered.
I'm gonna get drunk and make poor life decisions.
Normally, he would have chuckled, but he was just too tired. Melissa immediately realized something was wrong, and her smile faded. She leapt up and helped him down onto the couch.
You look pretty bad, Rick. What happened at the meeting?
He told her the events without trying to hide how bad things were. There was no point keeping the truth from her or treating her like she was fragile just because of her condition. But when he finished,
He saw the pain in his sister's eyes and realized that he'd made a mistake.
I'm sorry. If it wasn't for me, you...
Don't say that. He put an arm around her shoulder and pulled her firmly to sit beside him. Blaming each other? That's what our parents would do. And they're the reason we're in this mess, not you. We need to be better than them. She stared at him sorrowfully for a time. Then one corner of her lip twitched.
Good motivational speech, bro.
I do what I can. He sighed and let himself relax fully back into the couch. I'm gonna need to go to work early tomorrow, so we might as well talk now. Did you have a good week?
Mostly. There's this one girl at school. Ugh, it feels petty compared to everything else.
I've had a heavy day. I could use petty. Rick sat back and talked with his sister, putting all thoughts of Lucrum and fighting aside for a while. Just talking at home, he felt okay. There were plenty of people who lived their lives with less power or even greater debts, after all. If they could make it through, he could too. Eventually, he found himself getting rather sleepy. Melissa brought a blanket and tucked him in, but he couldn't go to sleep yet. Instead, he forced himself through his normal exercises. It hurt, but it was even more necessary than usual after everything his Lucrima had been through that day. How many days of exercises would it take to build up enough to get rid of the aura leeches? He couldn't do the math in his head, but it would be a lot. But avoiding them would just make him fall further behind, and he couldn't allow that. Before he finished his work, his phone rang. He considered ignoring it, then saw who it was and immediately picked up. Uncle Frank?
Richard.
His uncle's voice was warm and resonant. Sorry I haven't called lately. Work has been busy, and I'm sorry to hear that you're going through such a rough time.
Yeah, it's... things aren't great.
He told the story again, almost the same as he had with Melissa. It felt somewhat humiliating to repeat it all, even though it wasn't his fault. But his uncle just listened thoughtfully and didn't cast any judgments. When Rick finished, Uncle Frank paused for only a moment before responding.
I'm afraid they are right. All of that is completely legal. Some debts are discharged at death, but lobbyists have been pushing to restrict Lucrum forgiveness for years. The good news is that you can definitely take care of these aura leeches. I'm not promising it will be easy, but you'll come out of it leaner and meaner. Thanks, Uncle Frank. I'd offer to come down and check on you, but I'm afraid work is going to make that hard. Though, would you consider taking a job here? You'd have to move across the world, but you and Melissa could move here, and I could do better for you than that little gym. It wouldn't be charity either. We need the help.
That sounds tempting, but it's the middle of a school year. I want to let Melissa graduate here.
No, that makes sense. And I have to admit, it's hard to find good schools here.
Uncle Frank was quiet for a while, then sighed.
Will you let me give you some advice? I think I have to insist on it, because I'll feel bad if I can't at least do that for you.
Please, go ahead.
If you just train normally, those leeches will be on you most of your life. There are people who get used to them, actually, but that's no way to live. What you want to do is invest all your Lucrum directly into the leeches. You'll get rid of them much faster that way, and you'll be able to restructure effectively once they're gone. Another thing, don't take any demonic bonds. I know they're usually harder to get, but the demons like exploiting weakness. I guarantee once your data gets sold, demon sects will come around offering you deals. Maybe even enough to wipe out the debt entirely, but trust me, transferring it to a demonic bond is worse. Just refuse all offers.
The idea that they would prey on those who had little strength to give surprised him, but Rick realized that he shouldn't be surprised. They were demons, after all. Worse, they were demons organized into corporations. Expecting anything like mercy was foolish.
Beyond that, just stay focused. You're a hard worker and a smart kid, so you'll dig yourself out of this.
Thanks, Uncle Frank. He considered letting the conversation end there, but abruptly realized that he had another question to ask while he had his uncle on the line.
Oh, I had one more question. Have you ever heard of something called a golden core?
That's all it says in the app. In response, there was a long pause, so long he wondered if they had disconnected. When his uncle spoke again, his voice was a bit flatter.
It appeared after the other cores were implanted.
No, before that. I'm not sure exactly when.
Richard, I can't tell you for sure what it is. Usually, Lucrema programs give color or metal names to cores that are unregistered. And it might not seem like it, but unregistered cores are bad news.
Then it could be a problem? Should I get a specialist to check it?
No, don't do that. Just...
Another long pause.
Are you sure you don't know how it showed up?
Well, I can guess. Rick told the story about Mike and the other Birthriders. Unlike usual, his uncle didn't ask any questions or make affirmative noises, just listened in silence. When it was finished, he sighed.
Best case scenario, it's just a minor accident. Worst case scenario, you could get arrested for theft. Unless I'm entirely wrong, the Mike you fought was Michael Maguire. His father is CEO of Maguire Incorporated, and it wouldn't be out of the question to think that he gave something experimental to his son.
And it just broke off in the fight somehow?
It's possible. Not even that uncommon. A lot of Birthriders often don't have great control, so these things happen.
Uncle Frank sighed heavily.
I'm going to look into this further as soon as I can. Right now, I recommend just not touching it.
Great. One more thing going wrong in his life. After what had happened that day, Rick wasn't even surprised. He and his uncle chatted for a while longer about less serious matters, but it was obvious they were both distracted. As soon as the call ended, Rick lay down on the couch. Even tired as he was, it took him a long time to go to sleep. Chapter 9. Picking Up the Pieces. When he woke up the next morning, Rick felt surprisingly refreshed. Oh, there were still 3 aura leeches inside his soul, and his strength was still diminished, but he felt ready to take on this new challenge. Of course, it was his life, not just a challenge, but he wasn't going to back down. It helped that Melissa was already awake, munching on a bowl of cereal in her room. When she heard he was awake, she came out into the main room and they had a normal breakfast, not talking about anything serious and just joking with each other. Almost like it had been years ago when they had been children with no other concerns. Though Rick still resented his parents for leaving him with such a debt, he'd come to terms with it. He hadn't been born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he'd never been a Birthrider, handed everything for free. It would have felt wrong to just be granted a powerful core in return for nothing. If he gained power, it would be power he earned himself. Eventually, though, he saw the time and realized that he had to go. Melissa groaned and grabbed his arm ineffectually.
Are you sure you have to go? You can't get another day off.
Fat chance of that. If World War V happened tomorrow, Jimmy would still want me to come in the next day.
And if the whole strip mall got nuked?
I'd have to put in overtime to rebuild it.
I'm not looking forward to getting a job after I graduate.
Melissa let go of his arm and just patted it.
Have a good time at work, then. But eventually we've got to spend a whole weekend just lazing around like we used to, okay?
Yeah, sure. Rick smiled at her one more time, then grabbed his keys and headed out the door. On his way to work, he thought over the coming day. It was likely to be a fairly boring one, since he only had a few scheduled clients, not including Lisa. That meant a lot of time with walk-ins or trying to persuade new people to sign up. But it also meant he had plenty of time to work on his own issues. It took him longer than normal to run to the strip mall, since he'd grown used to a bit of extra speed from his Lucrema. The difference between 15,000 and 11,000 wasn't much, pocket change to many warriors, but it meant every part of his body was working just a little bit less efficiently. His foundation especially was struggling to maintain itself. That was his answer, he realized abruptly. What he needed most of all was free Lucrem to destroy the aura leeches, which meant he needed the fastest possible profit. Though it might not be easy to improve his foundation, it was definitely the least efficient part of his Lucrema soul, hence the most room for improvement. Rick cut off all extra strength to his body and forced himself to run the rest of the way on purely human stamina. He was already pretty frugal with his energy expenditure, using practically nothing compared to the people sprinting through special lanes or flying overhead, but he could improve. Every drop of extra power he could squeeze out of himself would go into improving his foundation and giving him an edge.
When he arrived at work, he found that Henry was sparring with Darren. Rick kept his eyes down and tried not to look at the difficult client, just checking in with Jimmy and changing into workout clothes. But he wasn't able to avoid attention entirely, as Darren noticed him on his way out.
"So, it's the little genius."
Darren cast him a scornful look.
"Did you get weaker? What could you possibly blow so much lucrum on so quickly?"
"Family emergency." Rick kept a polite smile on his face, though it was a struggle.
"Right, always a family emergency with your type. Does that mean you've knocked up some poor girl?"
Before Rick could answer, Henry hopped up beside them, grinning like he didn't notice any tension at all.
"Great progress today, Darren. Look forward to seeing you next week."
Darren grunted.
"Sure, next week."
He gave Rick one more look and then stomped out of the gym. That left it entirely empty, though the lull wouldn't last for long. As soon as his client was out of sight, Henry glanced over with an apologetic shrug.
"Just don't let him get to you. But are you doing okay, man?"
"Had some rough times." Rick did not want to explain what happened again, especially to coworkers. "I'm going to need to play catch-up.
Hey, I'm not sure how to ask this, but you do some fights on the side, right?"
"No need to whisper like it's something super illegal."
Henry did glance toward their boss and lower his voice, though.
"The cops look the other way when it comes to the underground fights, since we're sort of under the umbrella of legit organizations. It's a hobby anyway. Why?"
"I need the extra lucrum right now."
"I get that, but I don't know if I'd recommend it."
After an awkward pause, Henry dropped his gaze.
"Look, man, I won't lie. The lowest tier of fights is brutal. People aren't there to see skill. They want to see people kick the shit out of each other. And the way you are right now, you'd go in the lowest tier. I didn't get out until I managed that demonic bond."
Rick sighed and nodded. That was the answer he had more or less expected.
"And if you didn't guess it, you don't get any health care."
"Hell, Jimmy doesn't give us any health care."
Henry said that part louder in the direction of their boss, who flipped them off without looking up from his magazine.
"Now me, I'm on my parents' health care plan until I'm 25, so I just have to keep myself alive. But if I'm not pretty strong by the time I'm on my own, I think I'd probably quit. Just not worth it."
"Yeah, I can see that. Thanks, I was just asking."
He had far too much to lose, so the risk didn't seem worth it. Instead, he'd just have to see how far he could get on his own. Most of the rest of the day blurred past. In between sparring or while outside trying to attract new clients, Rick did his best to search for new foundation techniques. True, looking for lucrama techniques on the internet was not exactly glamorous. But his family had no secret arts, he couldn't afford access to the big skill databases, and he had no way of entering one of the hidden sects. The internet was the best he could do. Besides, everything was fiercely debated on the lucrum forums, so even if it was a bit difficult to sort through it all, he did get quite a bit of information about many of the basic options. By the end of his shift, he thought he'd made a good choice. He was usually experienced enough to have good instincts about these things, but just in case, he went over to his boss's counter and displayed the Wikipedia article about the technique on his phone.
"Have you heard about this one, boss?"
"Buffett's buffer?"
Jimmy glanced at the phone briefly and shrugged.
"You could do worse. The problem is, everyone thinks they can do the technique, but most actually can't. Most people online who say they're doing the buffer technique are just aura masturbating, basically. If it was that easy to make your foundation more efficient, everyone would do it."
"I get that, but most people online said that it's more likely to work if you've been exposed to heavy lucrum fluctuation." His boss actually looked up at him for a moment, then grunted affirmatively.
"Give it a try, kid. You'll probably hit the limit of what you can do with it for now pretty soon, but you won't waste your time until then."
Having his plan confirmed, Rick walked back across the gym to one of the meditation machines. They were nothing fancy, just metal contraptions with comfortable seats that allowed for either straight meditation or combined muscular exercise. Rick placed his hands lightly on the bars and pushed them just enough to feel tension through his body, then focused on the technique. In the past, when he'd tried to improve his foundation, he'd quickly realized that he was accomplishing nothing. It was just too central to the same power he was using to try to make the changes.
Yet he was surprised to find that he almost immediately made progress, summoning his aura and then folding it on itself. Getting beaten by arrogant birthriders, draining all his lucrum into his sister, fighting his uncle, enduring the aura leeches. Rick took all of those violent fluctuations in his power and converted them into fuel. When he completed the exercise, he had partially condensed his foundation. His aura was just as strong as before, but it now required a smaller investment of lucrum to maintain that strength. Almost 200 less, according to his phone. That meant he could reinvest those lucrum into his cores, though instead he sent them toward the aura leeches. They thrashed within him and then went quiet, sated by the surge of power. For a time, he felt rather light, and he knew that he was going to be glad he took his uncle's advice. According to the internet, the leeches partially fed themselves and partially absorbed power to pay off the debt. Just letting them drink normally, they'd barely pay off one lucrum a day, which meant it would take an absurd 26 years to pay it all off. He wasn't letting those things stay inside his soul for that long. Lucrum he pushed into them were lost to him, but they got him far closer to being free of them entirely. In the long run, it would pay off. Over the next several days, Rick focused on repeating the buffer technique. Unfortunately, the value of it decreased each time. Still worth repeating, and he enjoyed the improvements in efficiency, but it was obvious that he needed more experience to get more out of it. Next Thursday, it was finally time for another session with Lisa. She came in just a bit late this time, apologizing and quickly tugging off her jacket to spar. When she really looked at him, though, she hesitated.
"Wow, Rick, are you okay?"
"I'm fine." He moved out onto the mats, but even as she followed, she kept staring at him.
"Are you sure? I can't feel the source of the leak, but it feels serious. If someone did that to you, you should really press charges."
"No, it was completely legal. This is the birthright core my parents left me." He sounded incredibly bitter and regretted it, but Lisa only nodded in sad understanding.
"That's absolutely awful. My parents are far from rich, but they've always tried to take care of themselves so they'll never be a burden on their kids.
Let's just spar, okay?" He managed to work off some of his frustration sparring with her, though Lisa struggled to suppress herself down to his new level. After knocking him to the ground for the third time, she pretended to be tired and headed to the side. Needing some time to recover, he went with her.
"Is there anything I can do, Rick?"
She handed him a water bottle, at least not pitying him.
"I don't like seeing you like this."
"Actually, I wanted to ask about that. My parents' debt is being taken via aura leeches. I know you can't just remove them, but is there anything you can do to make them drain less or something like that?"
"Afraid not. There are some lucrum massages that will ease the pain or make them sleep temporarily, but those aren't real solutions. They just loosen up your body so you can use your lucrum more effectively, so they don't do much to help the underlying problem."
"That's fine. You actually knew more than I expected. Have you worked with aura leeches before?"
"More than you'd think."
Lisa sighed and leaned back against the wall.
"There are some clients, mostly fighters or businessmen who have gone into debt, who decide to accept that they'll never pay them off. Instead, they just find ways to deal with the drain. If they can increase their overall lucrum generation rate more than the drain, they figure they can most